said the tortoise. "You're more afraid of him than you are of me. Now, Abraxas says here, around the god there forms a shell of prayers and ceremonies and buildings and priests and authority, until at last the god dies, and this may not be noticed." "That can't be true." "I think it is. Abraxas says there's a kind of shellfish that lives in the same way. It makes a bigger and bigger shell until it can't move around anymore and it dies."
But that means the whole church?"
"Yes."
Brother tried to keep hold of the idea, but the sheer enormity of it kept wrenching it from his mental grasp.
"But you're not dead," he managed.
"Next best thing," said Om. "And you know what? No other small god is trying to usurp me. Did I ever tell you about old Ur-Gilash? No? He was the god back in what's now Omnia before me. Not much of one. Basically a weather god or a snake god. Something, anyway. It took years to get rid of him, though. Wars and everything. So, I've been thinking..."
Brother said nothing.
"Om still exists," said the tortoise. "I mean, the shell. All you'd have to do is get people to understand."
Brother still said nothing.
"You can be the next prophet," said Om.
"I can't. Everyone knows Vorbis will be the next prophet."
"Ah, but you will be official."
"No."
"No? I am your god.
And I am my me. I'm not a prophet. I can't even write. I can't read. No one will listen to me."
Om looked him up and down.
"I must admit you're not the chosen one I would have chosen," he said.
"The great prophets had vision," said Brother. Even if you didn't talk to them, they had something to say. What could I say? I haven't got anything to say to anyone. What could I say?"
"Believe in the great god Om," said the tortoise.
"Well, and then what?"
"What do you mean, and then what?"
Brother looked out glumly at the darkening courtyard.
"Believe in the great god Om, or be stricken with thunderbolts," he said.
"Sounds good to me."
"Is that how it always has to be?"
The last rays of the sun glinted off the statue in the centre of the courtyard. It was vaguely feminine. There was a penguin perched on one shoulder.
"Patina, goddess of wisdom," said Brother.
"The one with the penguin."
"Why a penguin?"
"Can't imagine," said Om hurriedly.
"Nothing wise about penguins, is there?"
"Shouldn't think so, unless you count the fact that you don't get them in Omnia. Pretty wise of them." "Brother!"
"That's Vorbis," said Brother, standing up. "Shall I leave you here?"
"Yes, there's still some melon. I mean, loaf."
Brother wandered out into the dusk. Vorbis was sitting on a bench under a tree, as still as a statue in the shadows. "Certainty," Brother thought. "I used to be certain. Now I'm not so sure."
"Ah, Brother, you will accompany me on a little stroll. We will take the evening air."
"Yes, Lord."
"You have enjoyed your visit to Ephib?"
Vorbis seldom asked a question if a statement would do.
"It has been interesting."
Vorbis put one hand on Brother's shoulder and used the other to haul himself up on his staff.
"And what do you think of it?"
he asked.
"They have many gods, and they don't pay them much attention," said Brother.
"And they search for ignorance."
"And they find it in abundance, be sure of that," said Vorbis.
He pointed his staff into the night. "Let us walk," he said. There was the sound of laughter somewhere in the darkness and the clatter of pans. The scent of evening opening flowers hung thickly in the air. The stored heat of the daytime radiating from the stones made the night seem like a fragrant soup.
"Ephib looks to the sea," said Vorbis after a while. "You see the way it is built, all on the slope of a hill facing the sea? But the sea is mutable. Nothing lasting comes from the sea. Whereas our dear citadel looks towards the high desert. And what do we see there?"